privilege of fellowship with God's people and to worship Him together this morning. And just going to turn to the Lord in prayer, just to seek His blessing on His word before we turn to it together. So I'll pray first in English and then in Japanese. Please join our hearts together with us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy name this morning for all that You are. We want to thank You above all for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father, we remember Your promise that where two or three are gathered in My name, I am there in the midst. So we ask that You will make Your presence felt to each one gathered here today, that we may be more conscious of You than of anyone else. And as we look at Your word together, we pray that we may hear what You are saying to us personally, that we might walk in Your will in the coming days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're turning again. It's the last of the Beatitudes, the last of the series we've been doing for the past 8 weeks. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. So, if you have your Bible, turn with me and just read from Matthew chapter 5. From verse 1 through to verse 12. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for My sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Just briefly review what We've been looking at over the past 8 weeks, so very briefly, looking at each of these Beatitudes in the context of seeing the beauty of the character of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can perfectly fulfill these teachings. He did so during his 33 years on this earth. And he has given us these teachings so that now he can transform our hearts and fulfill these teachings in each of us, his believers. This is not just an ideal, something that we strive to and hope to achieve. This is actually what the Lord Jesus wants to fulfill in every believer. These are all blessings promised for every Christian believer. And that's why our overall title for this series is Promised Blessings. So we've gone through, right up to today, we've come to the last one. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I suppose, first when we hear these words, we would think it's strange that Jesus is saying it's a blessing to be persecuted. But that is exactly what he is saying. In fact, this is the greatest of all the blessings. We've gone through them all the promised blessings, and today we're coming to the climax, if you like, the peak, the greatest of all the blessings that Jesus wants to bestow on each of his believers here and now on this earth. So it's the only one that he repeated, blessing upon blessing. And as we look together at this, I trust you will see that this is indeed a blessing, that it's not something we should fear, it's something that we should welcome. And as Jesus said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad when we experience it. So first of all, I want us to look at who Jesus is talking about here, because in verse 10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if it finished there, and that was all Jesus said on the matter, it could be misinterpreted to mean everyone, anywhere in the world who is persecuted for doing the right thing is blessed by God. But that would be a wrong interpretation. As I said, from the beginning, these teachings are all given to Jesus' followers, Jesus' disciples, for every believer. And from the first one, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again here at the end, the last one, Jesus said the same promised blessing, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. From start to finish, Jesus is talking about people who heaven belongs to them, and they belong to heaven. So this is all teaching for believers in the Lord Jesus, and we can't really apply it to anyone else. So doing the right thing for conscience sake, maybe if you're following your own conscience and you suffer persecution for doing what you believe is right, you cannot claim this blessing. But if you're a Christian, doing what you believe is right and doing it for your faith in Jesus as your Lord, then this is your promised blessing. Because Jesus went on to say in verses 11 and 12, just in case, might be misunderstood, verse 11, he makes it very clear. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So there he is, making it very clear who he's talking about. He's talking about his followers being persecuted for his sake. And when that happens, we are blessed. Jesus said that we should be rejoicing and exceedingly glad. Now, does this mean that every Christian will experience persecution? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, and we find the answer to that question. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So there's a qualifying clause here. It doesn't say all who are in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. So the thing is, as a Christian, when you seek to live, seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness, seeking to live as a witness for Christ, seeking to advance His cause, His kingdom, you are guaranteed that you will experience persecution in one form or another, because His kingdom does not advance without resistance. And everyone who gets involved in the advancement of that kingdom, contributing in any way — we're not all preachers, we're not all evangelists, but praying for the salvation of those around us, others who still are not saved, seeking to reach them in any way we can, in any way at all, when we get involved in contributing to the advancement of Christ's kingdom, you're guaranteed that there will be some form of persecution. And like I said, it's not something to fear. It's something to rejoice in. It's something to welcome. And I would say, if you're a Christian and you've never experienced any form of persecution, don't feel relieved. Rather, feel concerned. Because if you're living a godly life, seeking to advance and participate in the advancement of Christ's kingdom, there ought to be somewhere in your life some form of persecution. That's what this is saying here. And the Lord Jesus makes it very clear who he's talking about when he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, his righteousness and his kingdom. And so all of us today, as believers in the Lord Jesus, can claim this blessing, this promised blessing, as our own. Now the thing is, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Lord Jesus told us in advance that we would experience tribulation, is the word used, but that's a wider word, but including other forms of hardship and difficulty, but there is no question that it also includes persecution. John chapter 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. victory is guaranteed when we are living for Christ, seeking to advance His kingdom. Even though there will be resistance, we will experience some form of persecution. We can be encouraged. The victory is already won. The victory is guaranteed. And the reason Jesus is saying this, that we can experience His peace when it happens in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of any kind of tribulation, we can experience His peace. His peace, which is not of this world and not dependent on our circumstances in this world, the peace of God that comes from above. So, as I say, please do not in any way be afraid, feel fear when you hear that God is saying you're going to experience persecution. He is saying you don't need to worry about it. I have already overcome all the forces of darkness and evil. I've overcome the world, everything that's in this world of the evil one. You're on the victory side. So live in peace in all circumstances. And He repeats it over and over. Do not let your heart be troubled. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. And more than anything else, He repeats over and over, fear not. So, Jesus is saying here, we are blessed when we are persecuted for His sake as His believers. And I want to move on just to what He is actually talking about when He says persecution. Because we're prone to think of persecution as physical violence, or in extreme cases, martyrdom. And of course, those things are included in many believers, even in the world today, do experience those extreme forms of persecution. But the Lord Jesus is saying here very clearly that that is not the only thing He is talking about. Let's look again at verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So because of your faith and your testimony as a Christian, when you experience slander, people speaking evil of you behind your back, gossip, whatever else, those kind of things that may not even happen in front of your eyes. Often it happens behind your back and you're not aware of even half of what is going on. But Jesus is saying, rejoice that is happening. And I want to try to explain why. Jesus said here, because great is your reward in heaven. You see, when you live as a witness for Christ, and as I say, especially in this country of Japan, you get involved in the forefront, the front line of a spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare. Japan is one of the most unreached nations in the world. today. The percentage of the population of Christians who know God, who know the Lord Jesus. Certainly in Asia, it's the last stronghold. In the sense that it's the most unreached. And I can guarantee you from 35 years of experience as a missionary in Japan, and on the authority of what Jesus is saying here, that once you become involved in any form of witness or advancing Christ's kingdom, you will know that there is resistance. And again, as I say, it's nothing to fear, because Jesus has not only defeated, he has disarmed, he has made a public show of all the forces of darkness, and he guarantees us the victory. So we can rejoice and be exceeding glad, because it means when we experience that, your life is having an impact for the kingdom of God in this country, or wherever it is that you experience this opposition when you witness. It's evidence that your life is counting for the kingdom of God. And Jesus promises that there will be reward upon reward. See, I said earlier that this is the only beatitude where Jesus repeats the word blessed, where it's blessing upon blessing, because from first right through, every believer is blessed with belonging to the kingdom of heaven, having their names written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. From that very first proverb, when we read about coming to God in humility, the poor in spirit, acknowledging our sinfulness and our need of his mercy and forgiveness in Christ. From that moment, you're already blessed with belonging. There's heaven, and heaven belonging to you. But Jesus is saying here, there is still more blessing when you are involved in the advancement of his kingdom, when you're seeking to live as a witness for him. He's talking about even greater reward than just getting into heaven. And that's why, when we understand what Jesus is talking about here, we can welcome persecution and we can rejoice in it. We know that it's evidence of God's blessing on our lives, and that our lives are making an impact for him. Another thing, important thing, during experiencing this persecution is that we don't see people as our enemies. Jesus never saw people as his enemies. Last week we looked at his prayer of forgiveness on the cross for those who were murdering him. And right in the middle of them murdering him, he's praying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." In other words, he didn't see the people as his enemy, but the unseen evil powers that were using these people. And for us, it's the same. We need to see that our battle, our fight, is not with people. It's against an unseen enemy who is using people. And they're unconscious of it, they're not aware of it, that they're being used by the enemy. So we must not see them as our enemies. You know, One of the powerful things I find is that in Gethsemane, the night Jesus was arrested, and the one who betrayed him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, Judas, Jesus referred to him as friend. And he said, "Friend, is this what you have come for?" Even Judas, Jesus didn't see him as the enemy. And, that is a powerful, powerful verse. But on the other hand, I would like to look at Matthew 16, where the Apostle Peter became a tool in the hands of Satan, unknowingly. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and just look, straight after Jesus had said to Peter how blessed he was after his confession of faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the next few moments, Jesus starts to tell his disciples what he's going to suffer in Jerusalem. Peter takes him to the side. I want to read verse 20 to 22 of chapter 16. Verse 22 and 23. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man.'" I mean, Jesus is not calling Peter Satan. Jesus is saying that Peter, unawares, because of his immaturity, because he's not thinking of the things of God primarily, Satan was able to use him to try to hinder Jesus from fulfilling the will of God. And you know, there's several very important lessons here, I believe. One that we all need to remember: self-pity. No, that shouldn't happen to me. I'm doing my best, I'm seeking to live for God, and why should I have to go through this? You know where that comes from? Jesus is making it very clear here where that comes from. Every thought of self-pity is from Satan, in an attempt to hinder us from doing God's will and fulfilling God's will for our lives. So that's one of the interesting things in this little passage. But it's very deep, profound stuff, but when we experience this from the world, from unbelievers, it's not really that hard to handle. So it shouldn't be. I mean, the Bible tells us that we should be expecting it. But what you don't expect is when it comes through believers, even those closest to you, those who you expect would be the ones who are praying for you. And that can happen, and that does happen. It's helped Peter here in his immaturity. Sometimes as Christians who are mature, but at that time are not seeking first the things of God. And when it comes in that subtle direction of the enemy's attacks, slandering, gossiping, criticism, it's much, much harder to accept it. But we need to realize that it can happen in thoughts. It happened to the Lord Jesus through one of his closest, innermost circle disciples. And Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus wouldn't entertain any thought of self-pity. And we're told that Peter himself tells us, we looked at it last week, but I want to look at it again because there's a verse we didn't look at last week. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, that this is what we as Christians are called to. Now, it's not something that you want to hear, but this is the reality that we are called to share in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Every believer. We're not just called only to believe in him. We're called to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." So it's very clear, every Christian is called to suffer unjustly. Jesus suffered unjustly. He suffered the biggest injustice of all time. And he left us an example how we're to deal with it. If you continue reading, I won't because we read it last week, but committed himself to the one who judges righteously. Leave it all with God. He will take care of your vindication. He will take care of showing publicly that you are doing what is right. In his time, in his way. If we respond in this way to the persecution, don't try to fight it, deal with it, and sort it out ourselves. If we accept it in the way that Jesus did, we can claim this blessing that is promised. And the thing is that it's not just when we get to heaven. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." But it's not only that. Peter goes on in chapter 4 and verse 14. This 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. Peter says this, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but in your part he is glorified." Now this is talking about here and now. When you are in the midst of suffering, any kind of persecution, Peter specifically mentions criticism, unfair, unjust criticism, being reproached, being slandered and talked about and gossiped about because of your faith in Christ. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You know, it's interesting that this phrase is not found anywhere else in Scripture, where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of glory. You know, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But there's nowhere else you can find where it says the Spirit of glory. rests upon you. And the reason is very significant. It is when we are suffering persecution and accepting it for Christ in His name, that is when the glory of Christ, the beauty of Christ's character is revealed through us more than at any other time. And there's a very powerful illustration of that in Acts chapter 6. The first martyr, the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Just going to look at Acts chapter 6 to see this clear illustration of what Peter is talking about here when he said, the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Acts chapter 6 and verse 15. Sorry, we'll read from verse 14. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Where Stephen here was brought before the council and was falsely accused, it says in verse 13, they set up false witnesses and they accused them falsely. But it says, all who sat in the council saw his face as the face of an angel. Now, it wasn't the face of an angel that they were seeing. There was the glory of Christ, the beauty of Christ being revealed through Stephen. Obviously, this is just before he is martyred, stoned to death. And so it's unlikely that any of us will experience that kind of persecution, that extreme persecution, but it doesn't matter the extent of the persecution. It's for every believer. Peter said, blessed are you when you are reproached because the Spirit of glory. God, in that situation, gives us blessing upon blessing. Extra grace. You often hear of martyrs singing and praising God while they're being murdered. You can read in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in the prison in chains, midnight, singing and praising God. The thing is, we often wonder, I'm sure every one of us as Christians, if I was to face that kind of persecution, would I be able to stand it? You know, would I be able to be a witness in those circumstances? And the answer is yes. Because when that happens, God gives this blessing of the Spirit of glory resting upon you. You know, God doesn't give you that today if you're not being persecuted and you don't need it today. But when it happens, God will give that Spirit of glory. And that's why it is such a blessing, the greatest, the peak, you know, it's the highest form of blessing that we can experience on this earth, to be persecuted. The apostles in the book of Acts, again, chapter 5, verse 14, they were brought before the council and they were beaten and they were released, and then it says, it didn't say they were rejoicing because they were released, no. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's name. And this side of heaven, there is no greater blessing that we can experience than to suffer persecution for Christ. Because Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. And also here and now, as we just read, God gives extra grace, extra blessing upon blessing to enable us to reveal Christ, to reveal the beauty of Christ when we accept that suffering for his name. Just want to turn in closing to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about reward in heaven. There's a passage here, a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Well, probably, if you're like me, first thing you're relieved to read these words at the end, that even if your life on this earth hasn't contributed to the kingdom of Christ, and all you have built in this life is consumed by the fire, you're still getting into heaven. Like I say, from the beginning, all these beatitudes, all these blessings, from the first one, and for those who belong to heaven, and heaven belongs to us, belongs to them. So that's guaranteed. You don't need to think these beatitudes, if you don't experience all these blessings, well, you're not going to heaven. That's not the case. These are all about us being effective, being useful for the glory of Christ and for his kingdom. So don't feel that if your life hasn't achieved a great lot for the kingdom of Christ that you may not get into heaven. That's not the case at all. Be relieved and be assured that every believer in Christ is guaranteed to get into heaven, even if your whole life on this earth didn't contribute and is burned as dross in the fire. This is not judgment to see who goes to heaven or hell. This is judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, just to determine the amount of reward. There are those that Jesus is talking about in this beatitude who will receive greater reward because they have laid up their treasures in heaven, as Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 20. Lived for Christ and his kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is extra reward after the guarantee, the promised blessing of heaven. There is further reward as well. So we should be fearless in our witness, even though it is going to bring persecution. It may not be physical. It may be just slander, gossip, being rejected by some people. But we must never let that stop us living as witnesses, seeking to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ here and now as we live our daily lives in this land. So I just want to finish with a word of prayer. Again, I'll pray in English and then in Japanese. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for all the precious promises of God that are all yes and amen in Christ, to your glory through us. Thank you, Father God, that we have the privilege of living for your kingdom and for your glory, that we can contribute to your cause by seeking to live as witnesses for the Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be fearless and to experience the fullness of your blessing, even the Spirit of glory and of God resting upon us, revealing the beauty and the glory of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Ten no chichi na kami sama, あなたの御言葉の尊い約束を感謝いたします。神の約束がことごとくキリストにあって光となりました。私たちのアーメンの証を通して神の栄光が現れされます。感謝いたします。どうか何も恐れることなく、イエス様の証人として、堂々と生きることができますように、あなたの勝利を自分の体験で知ることができるように、どうぞ、一人一人の信仰を励まし、強めてくださいますようにお願いいたします。感謝して、イエス様の尊い皆によってお祈りいたします。We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.